from the sanitation, the medicine, education, wine, public order, irrigation, roads, the fresh water system and public health. What have the Romans ever done for us?
Well, what they did do is something that we continue to do as well, which is that the heart and the loins take us in all sorts of interesting directions, even when you're a politician. The scandal that's gripping New South Wales at the moment with an ICAC inquiry into a certain ex-politician business person that has now embroiled the Premier of New South Wales, Gladys Berejiklian, is one that we're turning our attention to today as well. And it's one that you can have your say on as well, 1300 222 774. Rhiannon Evans is a classicist from La Trobe University and also on the celebrated podcast, Emperors of Rome. Rhiannon, good to chat again. Good morning.
Good morning, Virginia. I think you're on the podcast now, so I think you can say you're a part of it.
I am on the podcast now. I can toot my horn for just one second. All I did was introduce these wonderful classicists for a very special edition, an anniversary edition of Emperors of Rome. I dressed up and I wrapped a bay leaf branch around my head, but you didn't, Rhiannon, and I was very disappointed.
Sorry, I couldn't go shopping. Can I say?
You can always just wind a sheet around you, as we all know. Hey, but relationships have been getting Roman politicians and high-profile figures into trouble. Well, they did for many, many years. It was just the same, wasn't it, Rhiannon?
There are similarities, yeah. It's one of the ways that their political enemies could attack them if they felt that they were involved with someone immoral or in an immoral fashion. And I thought that one of the central figures worth discussing is Mark Antony, because the discussion of Mark Antony always seems to put his relationships with women center, especially to criticizing him. And people will think, I think, straight away of Cleopatra. But in fact, he had already been criticized way before he got involved with Cleopatra for his relationship with his wife, which is not what you might think. She wasn't a problematic figure in herself. She came from a very high-born family. It was a very good marriage for him. But he was censored by some of his colleagues in the Senate for being too much in love with her.
Yes.
And they saw that as being unmanly, the fact that he was actually very happy with his wife, Fulvia.
That's the crime, the misdemeanor of uxoriousness, isn't it?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, I like it. And the Latin word for wife is uxor, so it comes directly from there. So Fulvia was a problem for him in that way. And she was a real interesting figure, because she was someone who got herself involved in politics, which the Romans weren't entirely happy with, but it was a time of crisis. She conducted a war on his behalf, which she did lose, unfortunately, to Octavian. So she was a figure who did a lot of good for Mark Antony, but because that war was lost and because he was seen as being too enamored of her, that could be used against him, especially by people like Cicero, who hated Antony.
It's a hilarious thing. What I always find amazing about the idea of uxoriousness is that there's no male equivalent. There's no word that actually describes a woman loving a man too much. But a man can love a woman too much, apparently.
We can make it up, though. It would be viroriousness.
Oh, really? Never even heard of that.
Well, no, we have just made it up. But we get the word virile from the Latin word for husband.
There you go. So. So it's a way that your political enemies could get at you. But, of course, there's the legitimate relationships. But were they madly affair-having types, the Roman gentry, the Senate and the emperors?
Absolutely, to the extent that in the period we're talking about, the late Republic, some people thought that the Republic was falling apart because not enough high-born people were making legitimate marriages and having legitimate children.
Right.
They thought it was a crisis of morality. And one of the prime targets for that would have been Antony's relationship with Cleopatra, which hadn't been a problem. You know, famously, she had had a relationship with Julius Caesar. In fact, those are the only two relationships we know of that Cleopatra had. Mm. And Julius Caesar was married at the time, and it was fine for Roman men to be married and have affairs. They shouldn't have affairs with other Roman married women. That was a problem. But Cleopatra was a foreigner, so it didn't really matter. But Antony took the relationship much more seriously. And that became the problem, especially at that period when they were moving into civil war. This was seen as dangerous. There were rumors that he was going to move the capital of the empire to Alexandria in Egypt. So, you know, he was being a traitor to Rome. They could use Cleopatra in that way. And by after a few years of being with her, he saw the relationship as a marriage, which was a problem because he was already married to his rival, Octavian's sister.
That's right.
He was married to Octavia. So that really did cause a big rift between them, which led to civil war again.
Rhiannon Evans is with you, classicist from La Trobe University, and we're speaking about the Roman history of relationships getting politicians into trouble. One of the great things about your podcast, but also the wonderful HBO show Rome that I know you and your colleagues get to look at as well, and which I heartily recommend, is that graffiti, as the historians have shown, has played a really huge part in Roman life. It was where people could vent their frustration. It's where political enemies would get their payback as well. Was graffiti central to undermining someone because of their love life, because of their romantic and sexual adventures?
Yeah, and it could be very, very explicit and, you know, using words that we certainly can't say on the radio. So they didn't hold back about that. And we know there was graffiti about Julius Caesar. But in a way, that wasn't so important. And certainly Caesar would just shrug it off. There were sort of funny verses said about him. And if you could kind of, I guess, just bold it out, as Caesar did, then you could get beyond it. But it's the old story I come back to a lot. It's about whether you can control the message. And certainly Antony lost the ability to control the message, especially after he died. Quite hard to control the message after that. And so he gets that reputation for being uxorious and for being, mastered by other women, and also for just spending his time lazing around on a barge sailing down the Nile. If he had lived, I think he would have been able to counter that message to a certain extent.
I know, but his life really does sound fantastic over there in Egypt, I've got to say. Rhiannon, if you were to draw from history a lesson and predict a consequence for Gladys Berejiklian coming out of the situation there from Roman history, what would you predict?
Well, Roman history does seem to show us that the character and the way the character of the significant other is spun can be really significant, can be really important. So Cleopatra was depicted as being, you know, this Egyptian whore, which was no real evidence for that. But because Octavian won the war, he could spin what happened afterwards, what happened to her reputation. So I think a lot depends on how this particular relationship and the other person is spun. And it doesn't honestly look that good at the moment, does it, for what's coming out about the person she's involved with. So I would say, yeah, if you use Antony as a parallel, then it's probably not going to end well.
Watch this space. Rhiannon, always great to chat with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Virginia.